Seated as we turn and hear yet again the first part of the second chapter of Acts.
Today's first reading comes from the second chapter of Acts, verses 1 through 21. When the day of Pentecost had come, the apostles were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages, as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians and Medes, Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?' But others sneered and said, 'They are filled with new wine.' But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, 'Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved.'" The word of the Lord. Now let's read responsibly from Psalm 104. "How manifold are your works, O Lord! In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your creatures.
Yonder is the sea, great and wide, its forms many numbered, living things both small and great.
There go the ships to and fro, and Leviathan, which you made for the sport of it.
All of them look to you, give them their food.
You give it to them, they gather it. You open your hand, and they are filled with good things.
When you hide their face, they are terrified. When you take away their breath, they die and return to their dust.
You send forth your spirit, and they are created. And so you renew the face of the earth.
May the glory of the Lord endure forever. O Lord, rejoice in all your works.
You look at the earth, and it trembles. You touch the mountains, and they smoke. May these words of mine please God. I will rejoice in the Lord.
Bless the Lord, O my soul.
Our second reading is from the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Paul writes, "No one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge, according to the same Spirit, to another, faith by the same Spirit, to To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the discernment of gifts, of spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. And to another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are activated by one and the same Spirit, who allots to each one individually, just as the Spirit chooses. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit, the word of the Lord.
I invite you to rise as we greet the gospel. Gospel today comes from the 20th chapter of the Gospel of John, and it is a little bit of time traveling. You may recognize this story from the days after the resurrection, but the message that Jesus shares in it is an important one. So the Holy Gospel according to St. John. Glory to you, O Lord. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from Christ Jesus, our Lord, who sends us forth. Amen. It was 7 years ago, almost to the day, sometime within this last week or so, that I led my first worship services at St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Boswell and Benz Creek Lutheran Church in Thomas Mills. I wasn't their pastor yet. In fact, I wasn't even officially a pastor yet. I was a fresh seminary graduate, having graduated and walked across the stage on Mother's Day just a few weeks earlier. And this was the weekend that was scheduled for me to meet and greet the congregations before they would ultimately have their own congregational meeting to vote to call me as their pastor. A lot of that weekend was a whirlwind. There's not a whole lot that I necessarily remember, but there are two things that stand out. Number one was that on Saturday night there was a potluck, and someone had brought the most amazing homemade mint iced tea. Becca and I swore to ourselves that we would find out who made that tea because it was so good, and in 7 years we never did. The other thing that I remember is something I saw in the bulletin when I led worship on that Sunday morning. in the section of the bulletin where it listed the participants in the worship service with individuals' names next to things like liturgical assistant and organist and lector, ushers and greeters and altar guild, there was one line that stood out. There was a line for pastor that at the time was blank. And there was a line for minister that said, people of Ben's Creek. Now, that's not the first time that I've seen something like that in a church bulletin, but as I was preparing to take on the yoke of being a pastor, seeing that was an important and humbling reminder that while I may be the pastor, or in that case almost the pastor, it is in fact the people that are the ministers. In church, we use a big fancy phrase to refer to that idea. It's something called the priesthood of all believers. And it's something that is especially important in Protestant churches. It's something that Martin Luther wrote quite a bit about. It's one of the things that he staked the Protestant Reformation on. The idea that ministry belongs to the people. That pastors are set apart, but they're not set above. That each and every one of us, as baptized children of God, are inheritors of the royal priesthood. Each and every one of us is called to do the work of God. On Pentecost Sunday, maybe more than any time during the year, we remember that each one of us is empowered by the Holy Spirit. Each one of us has gifts. They're different, as the reading that Ray shared with us points out, but each one of us has been empowered. Earlier this month, I had two very long nights in a row. Two church council meetings, first here on a Tuesday evening and then on Wednesday evening at Ben's Creek. Each meeting started at 6:30, and each night I was not home before 9:30 or 10. 3 hours or so at each congregation as we spent going over notes that I had prepared, things that I thought that church councils needed to know in my final days. I tried to break it down into three categories. First, there was the things that they would need to know or take care of or worry about on day one, as soon as I was gone. Then there were the things that would probably need to be done or figured out before a new pastor came. And then there were the things that could probably and hopefully wait until a new pastor was here. We discussed those things for hours. We paused for various diversions as I answered questions or as we looked at specific issues and brainstormed ways to tackle them or approach them. I tried my hardest to be as thorough as possible, to leave the leaders of these two congregations in a position where they felt like they might be ready for the next steps. I tried to make it clear that for this next little bit of time without a pastor, the church council and other leaders of the congregations would be responsible for keeping the wheels on the bus, keeping the bus on the road. That they would be responsible for a variety of ministry tasks that they wouldn't be used to doing themselves. Some technical sides of things and some practical sides of things and also some spiritual stuff as well. I fully recognize that those meetings for the people sitting there probably felt like I was aiming a fire hose at them and telling them to get a drink. But I hope that in the conversation we had, they didn't just feel like I was drenching them in dirty water. I hope they realized that I was also trying to share my confidence in them. My message that maybe now I wonder if I said it as explicitly as I could have. My message was, you got this. I wanted them to know that you guys got this. Because God's got this. I didn't really plan for any of this when I decided that this would be my last Sunday. I picked Pentecost Sunday because it seemed like a natural fit, being the end of a month, being the end of a season that had a lot of festivals and changes to the worship, that it seemed like a practical note to go out on. Church winds down a little bit during the summer months anyway. But in hindsight, I can't help but realize that this is, in fact, a perfect weekend for me to be able to go out on a high note. As we hear about the ways that God empowered the apostles, what Carter read to us, as tongues of fire danced upon people's heads and the word of God was heard and understood in every language. And people were sent out. As we hear what Ray read to us, this idea that we all have gifts. And as we hear what I read from the gospel, Jesus telling the disciples, "Peace be with you," and then sharing his spirit with them. Today is a day. It's not just the birthday of the church. It's a reminder of the fact that each one of us, through God, each of us as ordinary people, can do extraordinary things. This day is a pep talk for the days to come. While you may not have a pastor to call your own for this next chunk of time, you will have ministers. You'll have plenty of them. Because the ministers in this church are the people of Mount Calvary. You are the real ministers. The ones who will really carry on the work of sharing Christ's love, the work of being a beacon of God's light. A fire burning in the dark night, welcoming people to gather around and warm up together. you got this. And that's not just for the dozen or so people on church council. That's for all of you. Not just you, but the royal southern you, y'all. Or the royal Pittsburghese you, yins. Yins guys got this in act. Because right now, as I look around these pews, knowing that it is a little bit bare because it is a holiday weekend, I see dozens of ministers. Y'all got this. And so in the immortal words of Garrison Keillor's Prairie Home Companion that I might have spoiled myself by using in my newsletter article this week, I think it is an appropriate note to go out on. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch. Thanks be to God. Amen. Our hymn of the day today is number 715, Christ Be